We're talking about power outages around here in Ukraine. President Zelensky says the Russian bombardment has destroyed 80% of Ukraine's thermal power and a third of its hydroelectric power. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. And Joe, anything new to report on that today? Do you have any air conditioning? I know there's been a heat wave there.
Yeah, Bob, hello from Kyiv. And, you know, to be in any major city on a hot summer day, and not in the countryside can be a difficult thing, especially without air conditioning. I won't tell you whether or not I have air conditioning because that would reveal too much of my location. And we know the Russians have been, you know, very precisely targeting many places in Kyiv. In fact, the other day, we had the news yesterday. We don't know anything about it. It could be it's totally unrelated. But an American defense attaché to Ukraine was found dead in his hotel room. This is disturbing, but maybe it might have been natural causes. We don't know. But of course, that does put people on edge. The it's still about 100 degrees here today. I'm wearing the traditional Ukrainian veshchivanka because it's made out of linen. It keeps you cool. That's the only thing I wear these days because it is quite almost unbearably hot. And indeed, most of the city people have electricity very rarely throughout the day. In fact, I was speaking with an American woman who's here. She loves Ukraine. She's doing a lot to help, and she lives like on the 16th floor. And she was apologetic for even telling me about it. She said, "I know other people have lost their homes. People are living at cities close to the front line," and that kind of shows you how. One reason I think we don't hear about a lot of the everyday suffering is because people put it in perspective with much worse things, like people who've lost lives or arms and legs. But still, I think it can help show what it's like here. And so this American woman explained that she usually will only have power 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. And during that time, you better wash your clothes, make all your meals, charge all your devices, and even take the dog out. In her case, her dog is quite old and can't make it up 16 flights of steps. So she's also got to go take the dog out while the elevator works. And she keeps with her this sling. Sometimes she's had to lug this massive dog up 16 flights of steps. You got to carry your groceries up there. It's really difficult and sweltering. And this is what people are going through every single day here. Part of it is that Ukrainian authorities are working to strengthen the grid for the upcoming winter. And so there's everyone knew this month is going to be particularly painful. But the difficult thing is that as long as as long as Ukrainian cities are not protected by Patriot missile batteries and proper air defense, Russians can, once you fix these substations, the Russians hit them again. And that's what they've been doing. So it's extremely difficult. And I was thinking, as I was traveling in a taxi today, on Krasatik Street, it's the main boulevard of Kyiv, wide boulevard lined by these 1940s era, really beautiful, grand 1940s buildings, because the old buildings were destroyed by the Nazis and the Soviets in World War II. And Krasatik opens up into the Maidan, the main square of Kyiv, and that's where Ukraine's fourth branch of government exists. It's the people when they go to the square to protest. And as I'm looking at this and thinking of all the history that's happened there, you know, I've realized in so many ways Ukraine should not exist because it's a wild east. It's people that, you know, it's not a government. It's a people. It's people that insist on being free, not only of like Eastern style tyranny, but even of like Western style bureaucracy. They really exist in this in between. And that's why they're paying this price now, because they won't be controlled. And, you know, today, as of today, every Ukrainian male between the ages of 25 or 60. Yesterday was a deadline for them to register in the reserve. This is a heavy thing because now everyone, you know, for 2.5 years, they're able to avoid this kind of draconian measure. But now every single male has to be ready to fight and to be conscripted, you know, quickly. And if you're not registered in that system, you can be taken up right away to fight. And I know many people, even up to the last hours last night, were debating whether or not to do it. Again, Ukrainians resist authority so much, but most, you know, really almost everyone, from what I can tell, signed up for that at the last, even if they did it the last second, because they know that freedom comes with a price. And that's here. And, you know, I think as we've talked about the past days, because of the heat, but also because of the situation around the world, seeing the weakening of support, perhaps, not only from, say, the Republicans, but also from the Democrats. You know, where is the great response to the Children's Cancer Hospital that was bombed over a week ago? You know, it's not even, no one talks about it. So there's a very heavy mood. And today is the 10-year anniversary of a Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 that was flying from Amsterdam to Malaysia, and it was shot down over Donbass in eastern Ukraine. 268 people were killed, most of them Dutch nationals. And they were shot down by a Russian surface-to-air missile that the Russians had been giving weapons to sort of Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine 10 years ago. And so as people talk about the commemorating that, realizing that this problem has been here for a long time, and it's you know, it's heavy. You know, what would people say? Will people ever wake up? If they haven't awakened now, will the West ever wake up is a big question here today.
The news cycles go so quickly. We tend to forget about some very important stories. Back to Ukraine's electricity supply, crippling that has been a key goal of Russia. And I read somewhere that you need 25 Patriot air defense systems to fully defend the airspace of Ukraine. How many does Ukraine have? It's fewer than five, right?
Yeah, well, the Ukraine has been given three in the past 2.5 years. There are more on the way. Several nations in the past weeks have said they'll send some more. Now, presidential candidate J.D. Vance claimed that Ukraine needed thousands, but that's not... That's not really, you know, they don't need thousands. I think if you look at it more sort of methodically, step by step, you know, one or two Patriot missile batteries have been, no one knows if it's one or two, but have been here in Kyiv. And Kyiv has largely been protected. So we see that, I mean, you know, there's almost an iron dome over Kyiv. The only reason the Russians were able to break through last Monday, a week ago, and hit that children's hospital is because they overwhelmed the system. They sent so many missiles that usually would be spread all over the country were concentrated on Kyiv, and that got through the system. But you know, that's a big expense for Russia. They can't do that all the time. And so usually the Patriot missile batteries really protect the city. And if you had, say, one in Kharkiv, one in Odessa, you know, these major population centers, one in Dnipro, you don't need much more. You can really start to get progress and protect these cities and make it a waste of resources for Russia to attack. And so I think, you know, if you wanted total peace and calmness, you might need hundreds. But even with just a few more, you can start to see significant results. And I think so often people get caught up in, you know, the biggest idea of like a final peace. But from the Ukrainian perspective, it's why not take a few good steps to make things a little better and to force Russia to try harder, to give Russia more disincentive to keep pushing.
Yes, that makes sense. Well, for now, tough times for Ukraine and a hard winter likely lies ahead. Joseph Lindsley, appreciate the report as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.